Welcome again to Grace Believers Bible Study. We want to thank you for tuning in today and for everybody that's here. You know, Carl, would you offer a prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this morning. Such a wonderful day to start today with you in our hearts, Lord. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to share the word and to listen to the truth and to become more understanding and more giving. And just continue in your word, Lord. And we thank you for our pastor who diligently teaches us how to rightly divide the word of truth. And for those who are not with us today, we pray for them. And we just keep them in our thoughts and prayers. And we pray for these things in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I witnessed to someone last Saturday, and I mentioned it on the Sunday, that I give them too much information. And but then again, I saw them, I believe it was Monday, and they were begging for more information. And they said that it was a matter of fact, it's one of my neighbors and her boyfriend, and I don't really know him, but I know her. And she just can't. She said, "This is just contrary to everything I've ever heard in the Bible." And she said, "You know, my granddaddy was a Nazarene minister, and my mother says that this is just contrary to all everything she's ever known." But she was begging for more information. And so I give her more scriptures. And her boyfriend there is very unlike a person who's been in church their entire life or the majority of it. And you've got your opinion set and established like I used to have when I was in the denominational systems. I really just couldn't believe when I heard salvation by grace is a free gift. It's what? Don't you work for it? Aren't you supposed to be water baptized? Aren't you supposed to walk to offer Jesus, get into emotional feelings and do this and do that? Well, there's nothing you can do. And so I understand where she's at. But him, he's kind of like Trish was, has no knowledge of the Bible whatsoever. And he was sitting there agreeing, "Yeah, I see what you mean." Because see, he's not trapped with all this baggage. And I'm sure, Jerry, you were trapped with baggage. I don't know. Some of you were. I was. I just couldn't believe the revelation of the mystery was so simple. It's called the simplicity of the cross. God didn't make it hard for you to see the salvation message. I mean, if he did, I never saw it. But anyway, enough on that part. So we're having a good response for that. I talked to Bob yesterday. Bob will be here next week. He said he would be here next week, that his friend Linda was going to be bringing him. He's been really witnessing to her, he said. She was an Assembly of God individual. And some people never, ever will give it up. They just won't. So we'd just be praying for her to see the truth. She is, she's been in here once. And I got word that she liked what took place as far as the message. But when you see nobody return, you have a doubt about that. Because if it was as great as they said it was, they'd be beating the door down to get back in here. And
they're the ones that are in doubt.
Oh, yes, they are. They're in doubt. Yeah. Now, Saturday, that lady and her boyfriend, the one I was talking about, not Linda, I got to the point of this, and this is where you've got to, when you're witnessing to someone, you've got to get to the point. If, and this is what I told her, or I asked her a question, if, and this is applicable to any and everybody in here on the broadcast and everywhere else, if you knew you were going to die in the next 5 minutes, are you confident, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? Well, she says, no, when I hear that, well, she said, 98 points. No. She said, oh, I said, that won't get it. Well, I'm 99.9% sure I would. No, that won't get it. You're either 100% sure you're going to heaven or you're lost. You're going to know where you're going, one way or the other. And so I know that's why she's still asking questions. She needs to get something settled. She knows she don't know. Well, the only thing we can do is to continue to preach the gospel. You know, the revelation of the mystery. And now that I've mentioned that one word, what is the revelation of the mystery? Anybody? Come on now.
Jesus Christ died.
Buried and resurrected.
The revelation of the mystery is that Jesus Christ was crucified. He was buried. He was resurrected from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. For what?
Justification.
To clear you of all your sins, forgiveness of sins, just as if you had never sinned. That right there, my friends, is the, and I'm going to put this, only way to get to heaven. There is no other way. I don't care what you can conjure up. I don't care what Billy Graham tells you, John Hagee tells you, or anybody else tells you. That is the only way. So we're going to talk about some stuff in a minute. But, since I mentioned the revelation of the mystery, it was revealed to who?
Apostle Paul.
The Apostle Paul, by direct revelation, according to Galatians chapter 1, verse what? 10 and 11. Direct revelation. Well, I've never had a direct revelation from Jesus Christ. The only revelation I've ever received is from the Holy Spirit through His written word, through the King James Bible. Now, what day was it? It was when Trish, you were with me, I think. I went by the cleaners to pick up a couple of shirts. And this lady, she's outside. I see her all the time. She's the seamstress there, downtown Milton. And so she sees me, we wave. I go on in, and then later she finishes her cigarette. And I'm paying, and she comes in, and she sits down. And we carried on something. And I said something about my conference. You know, we're going to talk more about the conference today, but the conference in Navarre coming up in November. And she said, what, are you a preacher? I said, yes, ma'am. And she said, I go to Baghdad Assembly of God. Okay. I said, well, you know, most people don't even know who their apostle is. And I knew she didn't. She had never told me, but I knew she didn't know. So I said, look, do you know who your apostle is? I said, don't answer me. I'm just going to tell you. I said, go over to Romans chapter 11 and let's read verse 13. I didn't have a Bible there, but I told her what it said. And she said, well, she said, you know, all I know was Peter. I said, Peter was a great apostle, but he has not one thing to do with you or your salvation. Peter is repent and be baptized for remission of sins. And who did he tell that to? In verse 14 of Acts chapter 2, he said, you men of Judea. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, he says, you men of Israel. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, what did he say? Let all the house of Israel know. He wasn't talking to you. So she said, well, I've heard that, but. And then I said, well, you know, he says to repent and be baptized for remission of sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then I said, look, you never heard that Paul was your apostle. No. I said, in Galatians chapter 1, if I give you the wrong reference, I'm sure somebody's going to jump down my throat, and that's good. So I don't have to worry about having to straighten it up. Somebody in here will straighten it up. That's just the way we made. I'm very dogmatic, as I said, about the Scriptures. But I said, you know, the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, if we, Paul and his entourage, if we or an angel preach any other gospel from that which I preached unto you, let him be accursed. She said, I've read that too. But see, she don't know what it means. She don't know there's more than one gospel. And we just continued to talk a little bit. I had to go, so I give her some scriptures, and I'm going to tell you the ones I give her. Very simple. Romans 11, 13. Then I took her to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, which says in a King James Bible, which is the authority, which is the only word of God that's in this world today, that study, not read it, but study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Then I took her to Ephesians 1:13. Somebody read that, would you? Ephesians 1:13.
In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye received that Holy Spirit of promise.
Now, contrary to what you've ever been told, believed in your entire life, the word of truth is the gospel of your salvation. And that Ephesians 1:13 just said it was. If you don't, you don't even got to argue with me. Argue with the King James Bible. You'll be arguing with God. That's what it says, and that's what it is. So, I took her there. I gave her the scripture reference. She's over there copying it down. I didn't want to bog her down too much, but I wanted her to see that. Then I gave her the Galatians 1:8-9. And of course, I had to give her this. 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. So she can see that the gospel is there. We know that Paul started out preaching the gospel of Christ. Usually, as you know, I draw this out like this. But I like my other chart much better. Rapture. 7 years of trials and tribulations. Jacob's trouble. Second coming of Jesus Christ. 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Physically, on this earth. And it sounds like I'm picking on the Assembly of God. No, I ain't picking on them. It's just what they are. My old lead guitar player lives in Florella. His wife is an Assembly of God person, and she speaks in tongues, and she lays hands on people, and she does all those things. And I told Marvin one time, I said, Marvin, I said, you know the simplicity of the cross. I said, and I gave him the gospel. Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected for his justification and mine. Jesus Christ paid for all sins. That's what I told him. The word all, sin, / sins, when he was reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses, our is there unto himself, unto themselves. But this weekend on Facebook, he put a message out there. Now, you can look around, and you can see what's happening in this world. It's not prophetic. There's no prophecy. Absolutely zero prophecy taking place. Somebody's telling you that, or either totally ignorant, or they're lying to you. One of the two. You make a judgment on which it is. There's none. Because we're in a mystery period that was not even prophesied in the Bible until it was given to the Apostle Paul. It was hid in God. Specifically, you ungodly Gentiles, would be saved. It said you were without God and without hope in the world. Strangers from the covenants of promise. Aliens from the nation Israel. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11, 12, and 13. It's obvious that's what it is. Unless you want to change, bend, whatever, refract, however you want to do it, to make it say something you want. We take the King James Bible in the Grace Believers Bible study, and we make our doctrine, our belief system, fit the King James. But the most of the world takes their doctrine, makes the King James fit their doctrine. Mm-hmm. You don't make the King James fit your doctrine. You make your doctrine fit the King James. Mm-hmm. But most of the world is lost. Lost. And that's a shame. Somebody asked me, well, who do you want to come to the conference? And this old boy yesterday, I told him, I said, look, he's going to be coming out of New Braunfels, Texas. I've got one coming out of Austin, Texas. And the one out of New Braunfels, which is about 15 miles north of San Antonio, he's a keyboard player, but he's also a minister. And so he's going to be preaching. And I said, here's who's coming. Here's who I want to come to our conference. I want atheists to come. I want agnostics to come. I want Islamists to come. I want Buddhists to come. I want Zenists to come. I want Baptists, and I put them all in the same group. You can be a Baptist and be saved. You can be an Assembly of God and be saved. The chances are you're not saved because you've never heard the truth. It's not because you've got a title stuck to you that bothers me. It's what your belief is in how you're going to get to heaven. If you've got this wrong, I don't care if you're the best Baptist in the world and tithe and tithe and tithe and on the executive boards like I was in the Methodist church, you're going to hell. That's what's going to happen. So I want every Presbyterian, Nazarene, and however many denominational systems there are. I think there's about, when I got out of the Air Force, we used to could ask people, being a recruiter for the military, I could ask you, and it's not against the law, hey, Jerry, what do you believe? George, what do you believe? But you can't do that in your civilian jobs and in employment like that. But in the military, I could ask you. And we had a list in my regulation that turned into an instruction that listed at least 250 different denominational systems. Probably 50 of them was different Baptists. You take a Baptist church and you make somebody mad because they, you know, the Bible, Peter even said this, there is no private interpretation of the Scriptures. But somebody sitting over in a denominational system or non-denominational, that's not a grace believer that believes this, they try to make what they believe of that church. Maybe it is. Maybe that church, maybe that Baptist church is scriptural. But somebody don't like what they just said, so they break away and start their own church. That's a little bit off. Just a little bit off. Because most of the denominational systems that I see, they may change one thing. As a matter of fact, I was waiting for Jim to get here. He's not here. This is the church that he used to go to, Marcus Point in Pensacola. It's their statement of faith. Sounds pretty good, but he says, this is one of the lines it says, we believe that He, Jesus Christ it is, only is our great high priest. Israel has a high priest. I've got a Savior. We believe that every truly born again soul should declare his faith by the act of baptism, immersion in water, showing forth the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. You know, show me that in the Scripture. It's not there. It's man-made. So the Baptist Association tells these churches. Now, I'll just pick another one here. We believe that in order to be saved, the soul must be born again. In order to be saved. Well, that's a crock. Ain't nobody been born again except one. And that's Jesus Christ. The first fruits. So why do they say, to be saved, you've got to be born again? Ain't that something? That's just right off their website. That's why Jim doesn't go there anymore. Because he taught. Jim probably memorized half of the Bible. The King James Bible. He is a lay speaker, a lay preacher, and a Sunday school teacher. He was over there, I think, 40 years, something like that. He came to us and he got saved September the 11th, 2012. Now he's got love, joy, and peace. He knows where he's going. Up until then, all those years, and you could ask him if he was in here, maybe he will show up before we leave. But he wasn't sure. So there's a lot of things. Before I get through today, I'm going to be talking about the conference, but we're not going to do it right now. I give Carl a copy of this, and I don't believe I give anybody else a copy of it. But I want to just, I did this Tuesday night just a little bit to talk to my op class about it. It says, wake up. The body of Christ does not. And we're going to talk about some of the things the body of Christ does not do. Well, first off, what is the body of Christ? You know, the body of Christ, I'm just going to abbreviate it. The B-O-C. This is a mystery period, not in the Scriptures, as I've said. The body of Christ. Do you know we wouldn't have a body of Christ if Jesus Christ hadn't, or God hadn't postponed prophecy? Prophecy was postponed right here. Why? Because the Jews neglected their Messiah. They did because of unbelief. They didn't believe Jesus Christ was their Messiah. So God postponed prophecy. Put it on hold. It's like a football game. Time out. They didn't have no instant replay on this one, though. So, through the revelation of Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul, we now have a spiritual, invisible body. Jesus Christ is the head of that body. We are members in particular. We're all members of the body of Christ. The moment that you trust this, there's no other way to get in there. Now, does the body of Christ keep the law of Moses? No. You know, matter of fact, you've never been under the law anyway. Did you know that? You've never been under the law. Let me ask you this. I'm going to draw something up here, and I'm just jumping around, skipping around, whatever popping in my mind, that's what I'm going to do. This gets me. We know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, that's okay, come on, Wiggins, Luke, and John. We know that up until the last chapter of this, and I think the chapter 19 of this, basically, every one of those, until the crucifixion, is all Old Testament. But you got the churches out there reaching and pulling these scriptures and applying it to the body of Christ. That's deadly wrong. Why do you want to take scriptures out of here and apply them to something that it does not have anything to do with it? Mark it down. That's 100% correct. I don't care what you believe before. Take it to the bank. If you don't believe it, you go to Hebrews chapter 8 and 9. You read the death of the testator had to take place first. The cross had to take place first before a new covenant could come in. So we know the New Testament didn't take place while Jesus Christ was walking around down here on this earth. But see, this was His, and this is another. Christ has got a heavenly purpose, and He's got an earthly purpose. This was His earthly ministry. Jesus Christ walked around down here for 3.5 years in His earthly ministry. When He was crucified, what did He do? He went up. He was resurrected. He went up, got glorified. Why did He get glorified? Because He was there from the very beginning. He had glory with God before anything. Matter of fact, the Word created everything. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. But in Genesis 1:1 it says what? God created the heaven and the earth. So, He says He is God. And He was God. If you try to use human logic on this, Jesus Christ was in heaven creating everything. But He came down here and the Holy Spirit impregnated Mary with God's whatever. And He was born a man. He was crucified. Went back up to heaven. There's a difference between earthly and this is heavenly. Heavenly ministry. H-E-A-V-E-N-A-Y. Yeah. Earthly ministry and heavenly ministry. Paul says this. He said, follow me as I also follow Christ. He doesn't do it anymore because he's found out the scriptures are true. He grew up in a Baptist church, my son-in-law. He grew up in a Baptist church, Westview Baptist Church up in Op. And first thing he read, I guess he didn't even read the rest of it. Follow me. But he somehow forgot, as I also follow Christ. He told me, y'all follow Paul. Well, we're actually supposed to follow Paul. as Paul followed Christ. Paul is the apostle to the Gentile. So do we keep the law of Moses? No. Do we talk in unknown tongues? No. You see somebody talking in tongues today, that's of Satan. Oh boy, that's a... I see it all the time. I see it all the time. Well, let's just look at the scripture here. Let me get my Bible out. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 13, and let's go on down here in verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Paul wrote this, and he's telling you these tongues are going to cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, when that which is in part, then that which is in part shall be done away. What is that perfect, when that which is perfect is come? The completion of the Scriptures. E.C. used to say it was the King James Bible. Well, I do believe it is the King James Bible, but there wasn't no King James Bible at that point in time. It was the Scriptures that was written. And we know from Colossians chapter 1, verse 25, and just go over there and look at that. Hold on to there if you like. Colossians 1, 25. Paul says this, whereof I am made a minister, talking about himself, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to do something, to fulfill the Word of God. Well, the Word of God is the Scriptures. And today we have it all written down in a book. Paul fulfilled the Word of God. Nothing written after Paul. He fulfilled it. And based upon that one Scripture now, I'm going to tell you what. That's why I do not believe the theologians are correct whenever he says Revelation was written in AD 94, 95, 96. Because Paul fulfilled the Word of God. There shouldn't be anything written after that if he fulfilled it, should it? Filled up. What's the word? Fulfilled. Fulfilled. To fulfill is to accomplish the result that you were sent to do. Fulfill your obligation out of the military. It ended. There's no more. So there's no more Word of God to be placed in this book. But back over in 13, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So, and this gets people. People say, well, you know, I believe Paul is the apostle. But Paul spoke in tongues. Yes, he did. Paul raised people from the dead. But he lost all of those powers. Those were signs of an apostle. Everybody that was trusting in what Paul said, the gospel of Christ at that time, they couldn't go around raising people from the dead. You remember Eutychus? Fell off the third law, the law, plump, dead. Paul goes down there, lays on top, hollers back up to the people where he was long preaching, and says, look, don't worry about him, he's alive. He gets him and he stands up and he walks back up there and they eat. The man was dead. He raised Eutychus from the dead. He had Trophimus. How do you say that?
Trophimus.
Timothy. He healed their stomach aches, allergies and everything. And then he left his friend, Trophimus. He couldn't do that any longer. He lost that at the end of Acts 28:28. No longer could he speak in tongues. No longer, remember when that pit viper bit him in Acts chapter 28? He shook him off. And those people thought he was some kind of a god. Shook him off. He should have died. He didn't. But you know what? If that thing had bit him in Romans, oh, he'd have dropped off dead. Excuse me, Ephesians, not Romans. Ephesians. He died because he lost all of that. The Lord didn't want him to get bit. But But you were talking about in his pre-prison ministry, pre-prison epistles. I'm going to draw it like this. Because he started, this is repetitious stuff we talk about a lot. This right here was the gospel of God. Nobody got saved by the gospel of God. But he taught it in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, verse 20, he tells you, he went straightway after he had eaten, got a little strength. He went straightway into the synagogue. Who was in the synagogue? The Jews and the Greek. The people that blessed the seed of Abraham. And you weren't one of them. You were the dogs, the ungodly dogs. So he went in there and he taught the gospel of God. And that's what Peter was teaching. But he didn't teach it for salvation. Paul didn't. He had a requirement by the Lord to go in there and teach these people. And then whenever he started preaching, and I'm going to back this up to Acts 13, Acts 13, verse 2. Barnabas and Saul were separated by the Holy Ghost. It says that. Check me out. Don't let me get by with nothing. And they went out. And then in Acts chapter, that's his first missionary journey. In Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Can you read that, Carl, somebody? Acts 13, 38 and 39.
Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things in which we could not be justified by the law of Moses.
Ain't that something? Thank God for that, because we're sorry, despicable human beings. We really are. If you think something of yourself, that you're a self-righteous individual, you got a problem. You're not no better than that guy laying in the gutter that puked his head off all night, shot drugs up his vein. You ain't no different than him if you're lost. He's lost, man. He could be saved. More likely he's not. So in Acts 13, he started preaching the gospel of what? Christ. I don't want you to misconstrue this with Mark 1:1. See what that says, Jerry. Mark 1:1.
Beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee.
That's good. It just said in Mark 1:1, that's over here. That's his earthly ministry. He's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. What would that be, by the way? The baptism of repentance that John the Baptist was preaching. That's what it is. Don't confuse that with what Paul was preaching right here, called the gospel of Christ. It's not the same as the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't confuse that. There's a difference. This has salvation in it. This one doesn't for you. See what I'm saying? Now, we know the gospel of Christ is the same thing as the gospel of the grace of God. Right? Now, the difference between the two is what? Both got the same saving salvation. But there's got to be some form of a difference between those two. What is it? It's who they were addressed to. Right? If you don't see it, let me know. The gospel of Christ here was addressed to the Jew first, according to Romans 1:16, and the Greek. You ain't one of them. That's what the pre-prison epistles are about. But it's the same salvation as the gospel of the grace of God, when he went right here, it acts right there. It acts 28, 28. To who? All men. Don't matter who. It's no other way than this. Am I dogmatic? Yes, because that's what the scriptures say. If you can come up with something different, you show me. Now, this bothers me when people reach over in here and preach this for salvation. You know, for every scripture in the Bible, there's a historical application. That's when it was written. There's a spiritual application. You can come over here and spiritualize something and apply it to this dispensation. It's kind of like a foreshadowing, and I'll tell you, when Abraham took Isaac to sacrifice him, Abraham is a type of what? God. He was going to sacrifice his son, Jesus Christ, Isaac. So it was a foreshadowing. That's the types of. But then there's the doctrinal application. The doctrine, you cannot take the doctrine out of here and apply it in here and vice versa. It does not work. So stay out of here as far as your doctrine applying to the body of Christ. It really will uncomplicate your life. Erase it from your mind about what you did in the past, what you learned in the past that's now contrary to what you know to be the true fact. Okay. Do we, does the body of Christ, this is scriptural, guys. You're supposed to sell everything you have and take and bring it to the apostles' feet. I'll serve the purpose of the apostle. You sell everything you got, you bring it over here, you drop it at the pastor's feet. Money, wealth, health, whatever. Now, are we supposed to do that? It's not scriptural for us, but it said so right there in the Gospels, did it? It did say that. Matter of fact, let's look at that. Go to Acts 4. Now, we see where Barnabas, in verse 35, and laid them, well, excuse me, verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked. Talking about verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distributed, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. It was kind of like communism, but it's not the form that Russia's got. Kind of like a hippie commune, where some people go out and work, and then they share it all. Some of them farm, some of them take care of the kids, you know, those kind of things. In verse 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas was not an apostle for the little flock. But he was an apostle after he found a better salvation. He was an apostle, the Bible says, with the apostle Paul. But he was in the little flock of Peter. But he sold everything that he had. Let's just keep on going in here. Somewhere in here it tells me. Well, that's probably good enough. Well, they sold all things and had all things in common. I'm not finding it, but it's right here in front of me somewhere. There it is in verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that or of the things of which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. All those people had all things common. Now, so we don't sell everything. The Bible tells you that we should lay up for the children. It's a man that won't supply his family is worse than an infidel. That's pretty bad. An infidel? What does this Islamist call us? Infidels. Well, why do they preach for salvation? I say they, whoever, whatever churches, Peter's doctrine, and they pick and choose, but they won't have you sell everything. They're not taking all their money out of the bank and giving it to the preachers. You know, I mean, the preachers are, some of them are getting filthy rich. Some of them are multi-millionaires now off of the people, elderly, you know, lame, that want to get healed and those kind of things. They'll send their money in because they actually believe it. They're looking and they're searching for salvation. They're searching for something. What about being circumcised? Does the body of Christ say that you must be circumcised to get into the body of Christ? No. Circumcision was a what? A covenant between God and Abraham. In verse 10 of chapter 17 of Genesis. Well, I'll start in verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, you know, God did all the talking pretty much in the Old Testament. God did. Well, who did all the talking in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Jesus Christ. Who does the talking today? The Holy Spirit. Out of the book. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Is he talking to you? No. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money, or any stranger which is not of thy seed. In verse 13, he that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs to be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. Now, we're not covered under that. Now, what about healing the sick? Well, Jerry's fixing to have an operation. If I could, I'd lay hands on him and we'd end that right there. Carl may have to have one. I'd lay hands on him. Trish's going to have one. I'd lay hands on her. I surely pray for everybody in here. Prayer is powerful. Now, never underestimate the power of prayer. And I'm telling you, when you're praying about this whole assembly here, no matter how many is in here, it's more powerful than one. Power. Mm-hmm. We've got an intercessor. Who is that? Jesus Christ. What does he do when you pray? He takes your prayers. He intercedes for you. Probably with moanings and groanings to the Father. Things you wouldn't understand. But see, a lot of times, and I'm not talking about your health, but a lot of times we pray for material things. We pray to be blessed financially. You know, God never blessed, he never said one iota about blessing you with your health. Never said one iota about blessing you financially. He says, I give you all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according to Ephesians 1:3. Can you be happy with that? It's not this time that's concerning us. We're just travelers, pilgrims, coming through this short lifespan of life. What matters is what you do now to trust the gospel so you can be of service to the Lord. You know, what consecrate is. To consecrate something is to be used, whatever is consecrated is to be used by the Lord, to serve the Lord. So, you're consecrated to serve the Lord. You're sanctified, you're set apart, and you're supposed to put your mind on heavenly things, not earthly things. We still do the earthly gig, though. We do. We're humans. I still want to play music. I still want to go play golf. Not that I get a chance to do that. Carl Jr.'s working me to death over there at that house. But the thing is, we still got, you know, I know George wants to go hunting. That's an earthly thing. Whether he's providing food for his family or just for the sport, still an earthly thing. Fishing. But we still do those things. But we're consecrated to serve the Lord. But our big thing is this. We're all ambassadors for Christ. Every one of us that are saved in this room. But our real rewards are going to come when we get to heaven. And we ain't got a clue of what's going to happen. We just know we're in His body and we're going to go in whatever His heart's desire. That's what we're going to do. Because we'll want to do it. We'll want to do it. Inject anytime you want. I had this woman ask me this in my op class about 2 years ago. She said, "Do you think because I'm sick, my heart's not good, I have heart problems now, do you think that's because of some sin that I've committed?" Now, I'm telling you, people do believe that. They've been taught that. They sure have. You ever heard that? No! It's not because you've committed some kind of a sin. God's punishing you. Now, I will tell you this. You want to go out and go down to the brothel? You might catch AIDS now. But that's not God putting it on you. No, God does not punish you for doing evil. Do you get physical blessings for doing good? Jerry's a nice fellow. You getting your physical blessings? No. I'm not getting physical blessings because I'm up here preaching. I know the Lord likes that. This is the only thing I can do to serve Him. That I know of, tell everybody about His Son and what He did for me. Does the body of Christ water baptize? No. Now, I've been water baptized myself. You have too, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
Anybody other than Trish in here never been water baptized? What about you? You haven't, right? So, what about you, Candy? I was too. What did you do when a Methodist?
Methodist.
That was me. That was a baptism. Carl, you were never baptized, were you?
Yeah.
Okay. So all of us have been water baptized of some sort, except two. Peter says, repent and be baptized. And we know that's just like Philip was preaching to the eunuch. They went down into the water and Philip baptized him in what? What that eunuch say in Acts 8? What would hinder me from being baptized? He's talking about water. So, you got a water baptism in the Bible that was real and effective and so forth. But we're baptized by, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit baptized me, the one that counted, and anybody else in here that counted, you were baptized. So do we baptize? No, we don't, but the Holy Spirit baptizes. Now, and so we've got two scriptures there, Acts 2:38 and 1 Corinthians 12:13. Both of them's about baptism, right? So then you go to Ephesians chapter 4, and you read verse 5. There's one Lord, one God, one faith, one baptism. Which one of those two? Now, that don't take a lot to figure out. There's two of them. They're different. And there it says there's only one baptism. Which one do I want to do? But you know what? You know what the problem is? People refuse to read their Bible.
I don't even care if you don't know how to rightly divide it first. You should get into the Scriptures and read it and see what it says. Because later on down the line, when you learn how to rightly divide the Word of Truth, you're going to remember some of those Scriptures over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. And you're going to remember over in Ephesians. And you're going to just, they start popping in and out. You might not know where they're at, but the more you use it, it's like a song. I once in a while, I'll catch myself just singing a song. I'll be working, I'll be singing a song I ain't heard since the 60s. And I know all the words. I didn't ever sit around and memorize it. I just heard it so many times. Same way with the Scriptures. But there's one baptism into the body for salvation. Now, we all know, according to Romans chapter 6, that we're all, what? Baptized into the death of Jesus Christ.
Spirit baptism.
Yes. Absolutely. It's a spirit baptism. Then we know, so we're supposed to reckon ourselves dead indeed also unto sin. But anyway, let's see what else I got here. Oh, yeah. Are we looking, does the body of Christ look for New Jerusalem to come down? Huh? Are you part of New Jerusalem? No. Oh, New Jerusalem is real. But it ain't us. So. Goodness, goodness, goodness. What about work for salvation? I know we don't work for salvation. You know, the Bible tells you that Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Your works are as filthy rags. You can't do anything. And the other scripture said, if we could work ourselves, to paraphrase, if we could work ourselves, if we could work our own righteousness, self-righteousness, then Jesus Christ died in vain. But I've got people out there that I know want to work themselves there. It ain't going to work. I never finished that story, and I need to get on it right now, about my friend that was playing the guitar named Martin. He put something out on Facebook, and he says, this is the wife that I was telling you about that speaks in tongues and so forth. He said, "Read." If this was just one liner, read your Bibles, because judgment's coming. Huh. What does that mean to you? Well, I'm going to show you something. That ain't got nothing to do with me and you. Read your Bible. I like that statement. But for his reason, because judgment's coming. Do you know when judgment took place for us?
83.
Right there in AD 33, as George said. Right there, AD 33. That's the judgment, the wrath. I think it's 2 Thessalonians. Let me show you that. Let me go over there. I think that's where it's at. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I equate wrath and judgment together. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, judgment, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So, we're not going to go through any wrath over here in the 7 years of trials and tribulations, that 1 week of years. I like the idea that you can read your Bible. You need to do that. But it's not because the wrath is coming upon us. We've already been judged right here, found guilty. That's why you need a Savior. You are guilty. We will be going, not for judgment of wrath, but we will be going to the judgment seat of Christ the moment we leave this earth. When we meet the Lord in the air with our new bodies, we will go whenever it is, and I don't know. Maybe some of y'all have figured it out. I haven't. Where the judgment seat of Christ is. But wherever Jesus Christ is, we're going, and we're going to the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for what you've done to further the gospel of the grace of God. Okay. Better look at my clock. What about, oh, this gives me. What about enduring to the end? Do we have to endure the body of Christ, endure until the end? No. Why? Matthew 24:13 tells you that they do.
Yeah.
Endure until the end. Mark 13:13 tells you they got to endure until the end. We're talking about the little flock. Now, what is the end that they're talking about? I'm going to show you. It's the end of the tribulation, what they expected, or the end of their life. Peter was here preaching. He endured. He didn't know nothing about this body of Christ here, of course. But he did know about this trials and tribulations right here. 7 years of it. This is the end right there. But he didn't quite make it because God put our mystery period in. So Peter died. You want to say he got murdered, his head cut off, crucified? I don't know. The scripture is not clear on that. So he didn't make it through the trials and tribulations, put it that way. So he ended. Say he got his head cut off right there. That was his end. He had to endure until the end. Now we know Ananias and Sapphira didn't. They cheated and lied to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. God killed them on the spot. One right after the other one. But if this had happened, and Peter had lived through, God give them the power to get their heads cut off. To be martyrs. But he didn't give us that kind of power. And then he would have had to endure, if he didn't get his head cut off as a martyr, those people in the tribulation would have had to endure until the end of the tribulation. That's what it is. The end of the trib when Jesus Christ comes back. But see, just look at the things that we don't see up here on the board. We don't see no body of Christ. We don't see no rapture. None of those things. No salvation for us ungodly Gentiles. Those Jews were saved, those Greeks. How were they saved? By blessing the seed of Abraham. Through the rise of Israel. But we're saved, what? Through the fall of Israel. That it may provoke the Jews to jealousy. But now back in here, it's going to change again. You're going to have to bless a Jew again to be saved in here. The grace message that we're involved in goes away at the rapture. And then, if you've never heard the gospel of the grace of God, you will have an opportunity, if you go into the tribulation, to bless a Jew. But if you have heard the gospel of the grace of God, and you could have, and you chose not to be saved in the dispensation of the grace of God, then no, you're going to be coming on into tribulation, and you're going to be, according to Thessalonians, you're going to believe a lie. You're going to be sent a strong delusion to believe a lie, and you will take the mark of the beast, the 666, which is the number of man, number 6. So we're not going into the tribulation. Anybody think we're going into the tribulation in here? I hope not. Do we cast out demons? Huh? No. I tried it. I did try it. When I first got saved, I'll never forget it. It was 2 or 3 years after that. I wasn't fully grounded. I was saved, but I wasn't grounded. I wasn't established, should I say, with all the doctrine that I now know, which ain't a lot, but I wasn't. And a buddy of mine, a called him up and he said, you need to cast those demons out. I run from room to room to room to room. Carol wasn't around. I run to room to room, casting out demons. Oh, what an idiotic thing to do. Are any of y'all guilty? I tried it. It don't work. Because if you cast one out, you may walk into another room and you say, oh, I don't feel the presence of that. It's a feeling. Your feelings will let you down. You may feel like he ain't there no more. Satan's everywhere down here. He's the prince of the air. All these things that we talk about. Are we this? Are we this? Do we cast them? No. All of those were for the nation of Israel. Not one of them was for us. Ain't that something? And how many does the denominational preachers or non-denominational teachers, you really got to watch who you're listening to.
Thank you so much for coming out today. We just thank you so much for the opportunity to preach the Word of God to you. And join us next week.